In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you on this Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's words for the readings for this Sunday, this coming Sunday. We're getting closer and closer to the end of ordinary time and the start of the Advent season. So we're taking a look at the readings for the 33rd Sunday in ordinary time, year C. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, my travels have taken me far and wide this year. It's been an amazing travel year. And for the past few days, I've been in Minnesota. I just finished doing a parish mission in Mound, Minnesota at Our Lady of the Lake. And they combined actually with St. Boniface Parish as well and Immaculate Conception as well. All three parishes got together to host the parish mission. And the entire theme of the mission was on marriage and family life. So it's been a long time since I had a focused mission on that, which kind of just one theme covering the entire mission. But it was awesome. So, we had a great a crowd show up. Both priests were there for all the talks. I gave talks at night and also during the day as well. And all different talks. So it's not like the day talk was repeated in the evening, all different talks. And it was awesome. And I'm convinced that if we build strong families, we'll have a strong church. We have a strong church, we'll have a strong culture. But it starts with what St. John Paul II called the domestic church, the church of the home. So I just want to say a heartfelt thank you to Father Peter and Father Peter. Both pastors at the parishes are both Father Peter. I want to thank them for their warmth and hospitality, and my brother deacons as well that I had the honor to serve with while I was there. For all the people that came out, it was a beautiful 3 nights there at the parish, Our Lady of the Lake. And, I will keep you and your families in my prayers as well. I am now in Rochester, Minnesota, short flight from Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm going to be speaking at the Real Presence Radio banquet tomorrow night. Very much looking forward to that. Real Presence Radio is such a wonderful member of the EWTN radio family. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the folks that are going to be attending the fundraising gala and beautiful banquet tomorrow night. So look forward to seeing all of the members of EWTN family there as well. And of course, today, again, is Wednesday, Word of God Wednesday. And the readings, as we move toward the end of ordinary time, they're getting a little more ominous, right? A little, looking toward, they're getting more, technically we call it eschatological, looking toward the end. The readings are kind of pointing us and directing us toward our ultimate end, ultimate meaning, ultimate purpose, fulfillment in Jesus Christ, deep, intimate, personal, loving communion with him for all eternity. That's the goal. And so the readings are kind of reminding us that, that our time in this life is limited and that everything we do is geared toward eternal life with God forever in heaven. So the readings are kind of reminding us that. We'll hear that today in the readings for this Sunday coming up on this Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. And speaking of marriage, we got an email from a listener. We did a show the other day on marriage. And the question is this: please talk about whether or not insults, even small, implied, or cryptic ones, or those that come with an incongruent look, are supposed to be part of the cross of marriage. I can't seem to let these go, and I'm often challenging my husband on the subtle messages he sends me. I think I and other women have a special gift in reading communication that possibly men don't have. Anyway, even if, say, I am too sensitive, he gets angry at me instead of kindly assuring me that there was no cryptic message in the way he says or words things. All right, so is that across a marriage? So I would say no, not technically, and here's why. I think across a marriage would be like, for example, if one person's faith grows over the course of the marriage and another person's doesn't, that creates a gap or a chasm in that marriage where one person is more geared toward theology of the body and natural family planning and the other person still has a contraceptive mentality. If there's a loss of a child or that creates kind of a tension there within the marriage. I think there's financial problems. I think those would be crosses, you know, but I think what didn't give their name, the person who sent the email. But I think this is more disrespect. So what you're talking about could also happen like in a workplace or even with friends outside of marriage. So I think this is a different thing. And I think you're right in saying that sometimes, you know, I think women have a gift of reading communication in a different way that men do, because often I'll say something and my wife will say, well, what do you mean by that? I seriously didn't mean anything by it. I was just speaking and she misinterpreted what I was saying. But what I do is what seems to be that the listener here is not getting is I say to my wife immediately, oh, well, wait a minute, you're reading too much into what I'm saying. Here's what I actually meant, you know, that kind of thing. But it seems that that's not happening here. So sometimes men need to be spoken to firmly and directly. You know, sometimes women like give hints or are a little bit cryptic, and men just, you know, we're slow. We don't get it. So I would just say, you know, speak to him firmly and directly, you know, and just say, you know, I'm not understanding how you're communicating with me here. It seems to me that, you know, when you give me a certain look or say something a certain way, it's implying maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I'm reading it. Can you, you know, just tell them, please, let me know what's really going on here, or assure me that this is not what I think it is. Firmly and directly, I think it will hopefully help the situation there. You know, over the past couple of days, I really enjoyed being with the people in the pew, but I really miss the people who help bring this show together every day. Matt Kabinsky screening the calls today, along with Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles doing social media. But of course, the person I missed most was Ace McKay, our producer. Ace, how goes it, my friend?
It goes good. I've decided I am at 90 beats per minute. I want to go through the rest of my year just about right here. So just, you know, ride the ride. And then the great thing is, while the rest of the world is, you know, shopping and at, you know, twice the speed, I can still stay in the pocket while I'm at that tempo.
Yeah, I like that, you know, because you're right. I mean, when you go into the stores, you know, I had to go into a Walgreens, you know, I had to pick up some deodorant and stuff, like, you know, and I already have Christmas stuff out.
Yep.
I'm like, as soon as Halloween was over, bam, it's all. Danny even said, well, Thanksgiving is just like not even a thing anymore. It's like straight to Christmas. I'm like, man, you know, and I love what you said about being in the pocket and just riding out the, you know, riding out the rhythm. And just, I mean, that's what I love about our Catholic faith. There's a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, we have seasons and we immerse ourselves in those seasons and we really prepare ourselves for Christmas. You know, we're not even in Advent yet.
Right.
And everybody's already thinking Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Now, let's take time to prepare our minds, our hearts, our souls to really enter into that Christmas season in a very beautiful and meaningful and powerful way. So I'm with you about staying in the pocket for sure.
Well, and we talk about this when it pertains to music, because, you know, it's good to have that balance of the kinds of music that you're listening to, because too much can really infect you. And so you want to be able to have something that is edifying, something that is pleasing to God, so that there's that balance, right? And I believe that's why when we have our seasons, if we're not maximizing that, we're missing on that balance so that we can stay in healthy habits.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, balance and perspective is extremely important. And I think that's the important thing about these, well, I guess I would call them preparation seasons, Advent and Lent.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they're individual church seasons within themselves, but I love the fact that they're pointing us and directing us towards something. Mm-hmm. You know, something we can anticipate, something that we look forward to, you know, and when we hear the readings, you know, they're pulling us somewhere, you know, they're attracting us. And I love the way that the church does that in her wisdom.
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely awesome. Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's word for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you as our Lord challenges us in his word today. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
See, then you could just throw in some sleigh bells and it's Christmas.
You know, they should have some Advent bells or something too. You know?
What would an Advent bell exactly
I know,
work?
Right?
I just think of like the handbells, though.
Yeah. That definitely says Christmas for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have people in my family, they look forward to it because in their church they get to be the designated, like they're the C or they're the, you know, the B flat, you know, whatever, you know, and so it's like I've never known anyone to be so excited about bells in my life.
So are your kids doing any plays leading up to Christmas now that they finished the other productions that they were in?
Yeah, so they're in what's called the Christmas Extravaganza. It's actually kind of a local, or the big theater company here in Birmingham has this every year. And so it's become a staple. And so as soon as Thanksgiving's over, they have 3 weekends in a row. They have shows Thursday through Sunday. And so that'll take us up until Christmas. So that's what they're in preparation for right now, is getting ready for that show and learning all the dances and the wardrobe and stuff, which is fun because it's kind of become our family tradition too, because the kids are in it. But it's so much bigger than just like a middle school or high school production. I mean, it really brings the city together, which is what the holidays are for. So we're already singing Christmas music at our house.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll give you a pass on this one because the kids are preparing for the Christmas extravaganza.
Yes,
so you got to practice. And
we have to. Yes, it's but I'm of the mindset I kind of like it because then once Christmas Day comes, then I'm already there, right? I'm you know decking the halls and Old Little Town and Little Drummer Boy, like it's all in there. Just because they've been singing it, well, pretty much since school started. I mean, every weekend they've already been in those rehearsals, so it's kind of fun, you know. Watching them come of their own. They actually had I forgot to mention they had state competition Trumbauer over the weekend, and both made state, so they got superior in their categories, and so individually and collectively. They get to go to state in a couple of weeks. So while getting ready for the Christmas show, they got to get ready for state competition.
Wow,
so
holy cow.
Never a dull moment.
It's almost like athletes, you know? Like
it is. It truly is.
The same thing. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, Word of God Wednesday today, my friends. We're breaking open God's word for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Grab your Bibles and give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you haven't had a chance to check us out on YouTube recently, there's been a nice upgrade. Easy to find all your favorite shows. Plus, of course, watch and stream us anytime, all the time. But in addition to that, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss future shows, but also all across the EWTN network. You can find out all that you need to know, especially as we head into Advent. Always great to be able to have those at the click of a button. So check us out when you go to YouTube, search EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Psalms that we hear in every single holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms. In fact, very interesting. I got a chance to sit with Bishop Robert Barron on the plane the other day, and it's funny, we sat next to each other, so we started talking, and you may know that a new version of the Liturgy of the Hours is coming out, and so Ascension Press and Word on Fire have been selected to publish versions of the Liturgy of the Hours. And so I asked him about the Psalms, you know, because this version of Psalms that I'm using, the Revised Grail Psalms, is the approved version for that's being used in the Mass. I was also wondering if this was going to be used in the new Liturgy of the Hours. And he said he had to double check on that with the person that's in charge of putting all that together. But he thought that it was. So that's very exciting, you know, and I hope that they put the imprecatory psalms and imprecatory verses that are left out of the psalms right now. I hope they put them back, but we'll see. But anyway, today, my friends, we're going to finish our look at Psalm 60. So Psalm 60 is in book 2 of the Psalms, and Psalms 51 through 72, all these psalms are written by David. All right, and so the prescript or superscript is very long for this. It's an entire two verses of the psalm is just the introduction. It says, Lemenzeach, intoned like the lily of testimony, which is Shoshanim. A miktam ha David. Interesting, a miktam of David, miktam ha David, for instruction. When he went out against the Aram Haharim and the Aram Sobah, and when Joab returned to Edom and defeated 12,000 in the Valley of Salt. Right? Very interesting. One of the most interesting, I think, prescripts or superscripts of all the books, of all the different Psalms. This one's very, very interesting. Gives a beautiful historical background. So when we looked at this psalm before, we looked at how this gives us some history here. From the holy place, God has made this promise. I will divide the land of Shechem. Right. So Shechem, of course. So when the kingdom was divided after the reign of Solomon, there was the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes, and the southern kingdoms, the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. So in the north, Jehoiakim was the king in Samaria, and the capital there was Shechem. And Rehoboam was the king in the southern kingdom and Judah, and Jerusalem was the capital. And so when it says, I would divide the land of Shechem, so Shechem would be the capital of the northern kingdoms where the 10 tribes were in Samaria. I will measure out the valley of Sukkot. So another very interesting thing, because the feast of booze is also called Sukkot, which is the fruit harvest. So again, very rich and deep language that Hebrew is. So it's not just a name. It's also the names of places or people as well. So again, Sukkot here has several different meanings. Here, it's a particular place that's being spoke of, but it's also the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booze, which is the fruit harvest, also called Sukkot. And he talks about Gilead and Manasseh and Ephraim and Judah and Moab and Edom. So we're going to pick up today at verse 11. It says, but who will lead me to the fortified city? Right. So the city that's fortified, the city that has the wall, the city that has the guards, the city that's going to protect. So when we look at this allegorically, I look at this. Well, who's going to lead me to what is the fortified city? The fortified city is heaven. Right. Who's going to protect us until we get there? You know, I love that. Who will bring me to Edom? So Edom, well, a couple things. Edom means red in Hebrew. And Edom was also a nation. So Edom was descended from Esau, right? Who, of course, was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, and the twin brother of Jacob. You know, and Edom is also a place which was a territory south of the Dead Sea. So again, there's that rich, deep language of Hebrew. There, several different meanings, but the one powerful word there. So who will bring me to Edom? Have you, O God, rejected us? Will you march with our armies no longer? You know, so this goes, have you rejected us, O God? Like, who's going to bring us? Who's going to bring us salvation? Who's? Have you rejected us? Have you left us behind? No. It's all pointing toward Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to come with that fortified city. Jesus is the one that's going to lead us to safety. Jesus is the one who's going to march with our armies, you know, but not an army of war, the army against the forces of sin and death. Right? That's what Jesus came to fight against. That's the army that he's building up an army, starting with the 12 apostles, but not an army for battling and fighting in a secular way, but battling and fighting against the forces that are turning our hearts away from covenant love and union and intimacy with God. Right? When David is writing this psalm, this is what I'm thinking about as I'm praying. As I'm praying this psalm, obviously David was thinking about what was going on at his time. Remember, because it says in the prescript, a michtam of David for instruction. And remember, michtam psalms are only affiliated with Davidic psalms, not sons of Korah, not Heman, not Etan, not Asaph, only David. So there's something specific about these psalms, these michtam psalms for David. And it says michtam for instruction. So again, I'm just speculating here, but maybe this is a psalm where David, as the king, since michtam is only affiliated with David, and David was the king, and the Savior will descend from the line of David, as we see in Matthew's gospel and the genealogy there in the beginning and the prologue of Matthew's gospel. So maybe there's something maybe special here about this request that David is making. And he's almost asking, almost beseeching God, you know, send us the Savior, you know, and of course God will fulfill it actually through the line of David, right? That's why Jesus is called Son of David. In fact, Joseph is also called Son of David. Remember in Matthew's gospel, when he wanted to put Mary away quietly, right? Divorce is the word that they use there in the Greek. The angel came and called him a son of David, right? That shows that Jesus was descended through David, through the line all the way to Joseph. And Joseph, the great gift that he gave to salvation history, besides being the caretaker of the God of the universe on earth, was also lending him his lineage, right? Lending him his ancestral line. Beautiful. And then he finishes here, give us help against the foe, for the help of man is vain. Right, so we can't seek totally and complete help and assistance from any earthly means, you know. So that doesn't mean that we don't seek earthly means, but ultimately it's both and. So if you're an addict, you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, you go to that secular group to get the help and support, but you also go to confession for the sins that you commit because of the actions you may have been taking when you were under the influence of some kind of substance, right? So it's not either or, it's both and, right? So help us, because the help of man is vain. So we cannot rely totally on earthly assistance. With God, David ends, with God we shall do bravely. Elohim, we shall do bravely. He will trample down our foes. Again, a beautiful reminder, Psalm 110, he says the Messiah will put all the enemies under his feet, right? Beautiful. All right, Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for this Sunday, the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Give us a call, 833-288 EW10 833-288-3986. Yeah, grab your surfboard and head towards the beach, kids.
Right.
That's awesome.
It's one of my earliest memories with my mom is when we would listen to like Beach Boys or whatever, and she would teach me like the mashed potato and, you know, surfing. And...
Wait, your mom taught you how to dance?
Well, a little bit. Yeah, I mean,
there was a time. Well, you know, I'm sure you didn't tell your friends because that would have been totally uncool.
Oh, totally.
If your friends knew your mom would teach you how to dance.
However, when my friends would come over and she would do that in front of them.
Oh, no way.
It never seemed to embarrass me. Like, I was like,
really?
That's my mom. And they're like, your mom's so cool. I'm like, you only say that because she feeds you.
There you go. Oh, I love that. That is so cool. I can't even begin to imagine my mom doing anything like that.
Really? So. That's amazing.
Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Brooks. Series listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. Working our way slowly but surely in the next couple of weeks here toward the Feast of the Solemnity of Christ the King, Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, right? The Feast of Christ the King, which will end as the last Sunday in Ordinary Time, and then the week after that will begin Advent. And we switch from year C, which is the emphasis on Luke, back to year A, which is Matthew. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Always great when we get a chance to check in on Podcast Central, where you can check in on shows like The Messy Family Project and Mike and Alicia Heronin. They actually are really helping in parenting and strong marriage. So when it comes to the messy family, we got to make sure all of that is in check, and they bring it from a Catholic perspective. Easy to find, Faith-Filled Podcast at EWTN.com/podcast. Click on Podcast Central and enjoy today.
All right, my friends, Word of God Wednesday, breaking open God's Word for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. And so I want to take a look at the readings, but again, let me get out the number for you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right, so our readings for this Sunday, the first reading is from the prophet Malachi. And again, look at the context of these readings. So it's winter time, or just about winter time now. Yeah, the solstice already happened. So yeah, so winter time, days are getting shorter and shorter. You know, it's getting colder outside. You know, it's darker earlier, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's the leaves are coming down the tree. It's a time of transition. You can almost feel the change in the season, and for me, that's when my mind turns toward the end, you know, realizing that, you know, as I wake up, you know, with some aches and pains and things like that, and taking my body longer to recover from workouts and things, all those kind of things together point toward the end. And as we get toward the end of year C, and moving toward Advent, that preparation season for Christ coming at Christmas, the readings are again moving, kind of reminding us of our ultimate end. So Malachi says, lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud evildoers will be stubble. But the day is coming, will set them on fire, not leaving root or branch, says the Lord of hosts. Right. So, again, reminding us at the end, there's two choices, right? Heaven or hell, as I like to say colloquially, smoking or non-smoking. And you may laugh at that, but look what Malachi says. They're going to set them on fire. Right. And it's got leaving neither root nor branch. So he's talking about like blazing like an oven. So he really is talking about, you know, smoking or non-smoking here. Right. But it's a reminder. Malachi is a reminder at the end of our life. You know, everything that we're doing, that the choices and the decisions that we make have eternal consequences. Right. Heaven. That's it. Heaven, life with God forever, or hell, completely cut off from God's life forever. Only two choices, right? Again, this, the readings and the seasons moving us, moving our minds, our hearts toward the remembrance. And I love this because why? This is a reminder for repentance, a reminder to turn back, a reminder that there's more to life than what we can see, taste, touch, measure, or quantify. you know, that our hearts were created for something deeper, something more beautiful, something more holistic. It's created for love and intimacy and communion. You know, so it's moving our hearts and mind toward the deeper realities of life. And the psalm here is Psalm 98. In book four of the Psalms, which is Psalms 90 to 106, the Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. Again, preparing for the feast of Christ the King. So Christ is going to come, not just at the end of the world, so that eschatological looking forward to Christ coming at the end of time, but he's also going to come at the end of our world. Right? He's going to come at the end of our world. So the readings and the Psalms are a reminder that the Lord is going to come to do what? To rule with justice. Right? So God is a God of justice. So if we were treated unjustly, you know, we shouldn't be the ones to seek revenge. Right? There's a big difference between revenge and retributive justice, right? That's the big argument with the death penalty, right? Pope Francis is saying the death penalty should not be used, very, very rarely, or very, as John Paul II said, very rarely or sparingly. The death penalty should not be about revenge, it's about retributive justice. And so if we don't seek the justice that we feel that we deserve on earth, you know for sure that God will bring the justice. We may not see it in this life, but ultimately God is a God of justice, and justice will prevail, right? Justice, although, right, in lieu of God's mercy, right? Mercy, it says in the Psalms, mercy triumphs over judgment, right? Over justice. So, and I always talk, that's how I end my talk on divine mercy, right? That mercy triumphs over even justice, right? So even when we're treated unjustly, God's mercy, his incredible, unfathomable divine mercy and love must shine through in our lives and in our hearts. All right, so we'd love to hear from you today, your thoughts as we prepare ourselves for the Advent season with these readings leading up to the Feast of Christ the King. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So maybe you want to share with us, maybe you have experienced an injustice. And you were obviously very angry because you were hurt by it. But how have you sought solace in God's love and mercy? Maybe God is the one, you know, that you have to get to a place where you have to remember that God is the one that's going to exercise justice, that you are feeling maybe abandoned by God, although that's obviously not true, because you're not feeling that God is exercising the justice that he needs to. But again, be patient and wait on God. Right. But in the meantime, while God is preparing to exercise his justice, we have to respond in the face of animosity and vitriol and anger and injustice. How do we respond? With merciful love. Right. Let God be the one to exact justice. Let we be the ones to show mercy. Right. And that may be difficult for some people to hear, especially if you've been hurt by somebody that you love or trusted. But that's what I think the readings are pointing us toward today. Again, would love to hear from you. Maybe you want to share with us an injustice that you went through, how God's merciful love got you through that injustice. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter, the second letter to the Thessalonians. And he says, "For we do not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we work so as not to be a burden to any of you." And so Paul said, we're not freeloading here. You know, we're working hard and sacrificing to bring you God's word, to bring you the truth. As he was saying in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4:15, the truth in love, right? Because why? He wants to be a model and an example to the Thessalonians. How are they? The way that we are acting toward you, you are to act with others. You see how hard we're working, you also need to work hard as well to bring the message of Christ's merciful love and peace to others, right? And he goes, and I love this line. He goes, we hear that some of you are conducting yourselves in a disorderly way, not keeping busy, but minding the business of others, right? That's something that we have to avoid, gossiping, intervening in someone else's business where we're not asked to for an opinion. We're not asked to be in that. We just want to insert ourselves because we think we have something to share. But again, we have to exercise judgment and discernment, you know, before we enter into a situation where we're telling people about something that we have no business sharing with someone else, someone's personal business. So again, we have to pause and model our behavior in your interaction toward others. And so as we prepare our lives to meet Jesus, we also have to work hard and making sure we're doing things so that the forces of sin and the forces of the culture do not overwhelm us and bring us to a place of sadness and despair. Always in hope. We are still in the Jubilee year of hope. And so God's love and God's merciful love is always our hope. And then finally, we get to the gospel, which is from Luke chapter 21. Right. And so Jesus said, you know, there were some people speaking about how the temple was adorned with all these costly stones and votive offerings. Jesus said, you see all that stuff? This is going to be a time when one stone is not going to be erected upon another. It will all be thrown down. And I'm sure they were shocked. Because remember, it took what, you know, we just heard in the reading, the gospel, it took 46 years to build the temple. You're going to, in 3 days, you're going to rebuild it. You know, and so now he says it's going to be thrown down, not one stone left upon another. Of course, he's foreshadowing the fall of the temple in 70 AD. You know, and they ask, well, when is this going to happen? What sign? Right? And that's the thing. You know, people are always looking for signs, always looking for, you know, some kind of extraordinary way that God is going to show them what they need to do or how they need to be. And sometimes we just need to go along for the ride. You know, God is preparing us, and God will work in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. We always, you know, sometimes you may want to ask for a sign, but I don't. Typically what I've been doing is I've been praying, you know, when I'm praying for something, I've been praying a novena of memorares, right? So I take my rosary beads out and I pray a decade of memorares for a particular request. So yeah, sometimes you may ask for a sign and, you know, I think we do that so we can assure ourselves in our own hearts that the direction that we're thinking, the direction that we're heading in is God's way. So we ask for a sign from God. But most of the time I don't. I just go along for the ride and let God do his thing. And I ask for intercession, typically the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that God's will be done in all things.
Yeah. And, you know, and it kind of ties in. I was having a conversation with my wife. She has an opportunity that's presenting itself that she, as she's telling me about it last week, she said, I believe this is spirit led. However, I worry about, and she named off like three or four things. And I said, then, as you and I have talked about the progression of faith, the 1, 4, 5, go back to the one. You believe this is spirit-led opportunity. So all of your fears, all of your worries, it's not only those things won't even happen, but it'll exceed your expectations of the things that it will fulfill you in ways that you can't see because you're not in that opportunity yet. And so many times we seek out opinions of other people so that we can verify that where we live, whether that be in our sin or whether that be in our circumstances, that, well, this is just where I'll always be because of I did this and everyone else agrees, or, you know. And that's not true. We're not consulting with God first and then letting the spirit-filled and spirit-led moments be the miracle, be the sign that we've been looking for.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's a beautiful way to approach it. Because I think Jesus is warning us about the other way that sometimes we approach these things that doesn't follow the beautiful model that you laid out with your wife. You know, Jesus continues in the reading here, "See that you're not deceived, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' the time has come, and war and insurrections. Do not be terrified, because the end is not coming yet. Nations rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." And so we've had, since the time of Jesus, all of these, again, the eschatological signs pointing toward it, and everybody said, "Is it now? Is it now? Oh, World War I, maybe it's the end is coming. World War II, maybe the end is coming. Vietnam, all this stuff that's happening now, the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria that's happening now, maybe this is the end." No, look, you know, these things have been happening since Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father and sent the Holy. These things have been happening throughout history. And yes, Jesus said that there's going to be all these signs, but he doesn't say when, right? So that's why we shouldn't be worrying about it. We got to stop looking for all these signs about the end of the world and worry about the end of our world. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to be focused on. And that's where we need to. And that's why I'd love to hear from you today. Maybe, you know, you're going through something right now, and maybe you have been deceived. Maybe you're not sure what direction God is leading you, and you're trying to find signs. Would love to hear how God has worked that out in your life today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You know, I can't help but, as we again are approaching Advent, thinking about what are the things this year that we worried about that didn't manifest themselves in the way that we feared worst, right? We burned a lot of energy to then, when God was calling us into certain things or opportunities, that we had no energy to give in the areas that needed us, that deserved our full attention. But in that, we found ourselves exhausted because we were worrying about all the things that never happened. So as we enter into Advent, what a cool place to allow ourselves to be where, Lord, all of the things that I worry about, like seeking that forgiveness from him and then allowing him to set our minds moving forward so that in 26, we don't go there.
Yeah. You know, and I think along those same lines, I think Jesus is speaking powerfully to us today. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think what the culture, what we're doing sometimes as believers, as followers of Jesus, we're looking at the moral depravity in our culture. We're looking at the radical individualism or relativism, subjective truth that's kind of pervading the culture, all the confusion, the anger, the vitriol, the division. And we say, well, this doesn't make any sense. Where's God in all of this? And so what do? We look for a sign from God to show that in the midst of all of this turmoil that's going on, God is somehow there. Mm. But I think what we need to focus on is a turmoil happening in our own hearts, in our own lives, a turmoil within ourselves. And how is God speaking to us in the midst of that turmoil? That, I think, is the key. So I think the only thing that really makes sense is God's total, perfect, unconditional love. You know, we're the light of God's love and mercy is the light that penetrates and shines through the darkness, not just the darkness of the world, but in the darkness that's happening in our own lives as well.
Yeah. Well, and you said it in, you know, recognizing when God is there. But the really, to me, the Spirit-led moments is knowing that he went before me, you know, because he's been, you know, it's that whole Holy Spirit showed up, you know, years before I got to wherever I'm at. And it's to be able to lay the path in front of me so that I knew the illumination. I knew which direction was going to give me peace. And if I ever strayed from that, I actually saw a meme the other day that made me laugh. We don't have the air in our lungs to outrun God. And I was like, it's so true, you know, because we think that we can just be off the path and then think that, well, when I got there, I really felt the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he was waiting on for you to show up.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think one of the things we have to do also is walk with the Spirit as well. Yes, God is very patient.
Yes.
You know, he's going to wait for us until we finally get it. You know? But I think the way we get it faster is opening our hearts more deeply. And Jesus says some powerful things, a little bit scary. He's about earthquakes, famines, plague. But the thing that got me the most of what Jesus says is, you'll be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death.
Hmm.
Whoa, hold on. Now here's what I'm thinking about, especially with the seasons, the holiday season come up. So many people have family members who are away from the church, children, parents, brothers, sisters, and you seem like the pariah. You seem like the outcast, because why? They're following the thinking, the ways of the culture, and you're standing firm in your faith. You know, it says some of you put to death. I'm sure he means death, like actual dying. But you're in a sense cut. They cut you off, right? They kind of separate themselves from you, which is like a death, right? Separating yourselves is like a death. In fact, the word mavet in Hebrew doesn't mean just physical death. It means to cut yourself off from God's life, right? So a lot of people in the culture, even family members, have freely chosen to cut themselves off from God's life. And Jesus just puts it out there. It's scary. So the ones who are going to save them their lives and have eternal beatitude with God at the end are those are the ones who are the true disciples of Christ, who hear, accept, and put into practice every day of their life the teachings of Jesus Christ in the church. And it's that witness, I think, not so much what we say, but what St. Paul was saying in 2 Thessalonians, the example that we set, I think, will be a catalyst for helping bring the Holy Spirit, at least open the hearts of those who are hardened to the how the Holy Spirit wants to work in their lives if they only give them the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Well, and I think we have to remind ourselves that it's through our perseverance that we find salvation, and so do others, through not only their own as they discover God and the need for God in their lives, but as they hear it play out in your life where you admit, this is where I failed God this year. This is where I let my family down. I wish I hadn't done this and I had done that. Well, of course, we can't change the past, but we can certainly learn from it and then make sure that us and everyone that is in our sphere of circle does not have to go down that road, because we've learned that lesson for them.
We're breaking open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday, 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you today. How has God worked in your life to bring you to a place of consolation and peace? Maybe working through this culture, maybe, you know, temporary separation from your family. How has God brought you through that? Brought you through the darkness into the light as we're preparing ourselves for Advent. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. So the readings also remind me of this entering into the mystery of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection always calls us to a new life. So a new life means it requires us to get rid of the old, just as faith requires us to surrender everything to God, right? That's why I love the surrender novena so much. I've been praying that since the pandemic. You know, my Archbishop Sample introduced me in a meeting I had with him, introduced me at the end of our meeting to the surrender novena, which I kind of heard of it, but not really didn't have much of a relationship with it. But I've been praying it constantly for the past couple years, and I absolutely love it. It's been such a source of consolation and peace, you know, and would love to hear from you as we hear these readings that are challenging. You know, these are challenging readings that gets to think deeply and seriously. Where am I in my life right now? Where am I in my walk with God? Am I living my life in a way where I'm setting a good example for others for what it means to be a follower of Jesus? That's the challenge. Would love to hear how you're living that reality in your own life, in your own faith walk, in your own journey toward heaven today. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So let's not continue to be deceived, right? This reminds me of Psalm 135. Well, actually, and the parallel in Psalm 115 as well, but I think it's 115 is the psalm that goes into much deeper into this. So the things of the culture, right, the division and the separation and all the things we're seeing, they're like the pagan idols, right, that David, that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 115. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have nostrils, but they cannot smell. With their hands, they cannot feel. With their feet, they cannot walk. No sound comes from their throats. Their makers will come to be like them, and so will all who trust in them. So we have to put our trust, our faith, our love, our lives into the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's His truth that will set us free to love and lead us on the path to eternal life. All right, tomorrow's topic, do Catholics believe in ghosts? Oh, that's going to be fun. Now remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And if you're following us on YouTube, don't forget, EWTN Radio has its own YouTube channel. Remember to subscribe to keep up to date on everything that we're doing. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.